You are Locked On Timberwolves, your daily Minnesota Timberwolves podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Hello and welcome to the Locked On Wolves podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day. My name is Ben Beacon. I'm the host of Locked On Wolves. I'm also the co-editor of Dunking with Wolves, the Timberwolves site on the Fansided Network. Happy Wednesday, everybody. Happy Timberwolves game day once again. The Wolves, of course, are licking their wounds after a Monday loss to Golden State Warriors. They'll get another crack at Steph Curry and Steve Kerr and the Warriors on Wednesday night. Today, a special episode of Locked On Wolves, a crossover episode with Wes Goldberg of Locked On Warriors. We talked mostly only D'Lo and Wiggins and that trade and the draft pick compensation and how the Warriors are feeling about the Wiggins D'Lo trade to this point, how I get my perspective on how the Timberwolves and their fan base and the team is feeling about the Wiggins and D'Lo trade. We also talked a little bit about team building and what the Warriors' plan to build a team is around, obviously, Steph Curry, and what the Timberwolves' plan is to build around Towns and D'Angelo Russell. So that's today's show. It's a crossover episode that Wes and I had a conversation about. This is between the Tuesday-Wednesday games, obviously, or excuse me, the Monday-Wednesday games. So after the Warriors beat the Wolves by 22 on Monday, but obviously before this evening's game between the Wolves and Warriors. So we're going to get to that here in just a second. Quickly, though, a quick reminder that you can subscribe to the show wherever you get your podcasts. You can get it on iTunes, Stitcher, Spotify, Google, really anywhere you can get podcasts. You can also follow us on Twitter. And please do at Locked On T-Wolves. That's at Locked On T-Wolves. Don't forget the T. Without further ado, let's get to the good stuff. And that is the crossover episode between yours truly and Wes Goldberg of Locked On Warriors.
A crossover edition of Locked On Warriors. I'm Wes Goldberg, Warriors beat writer for the Bay Area News Group and host of Locked On Warriors. Here with Ben Beacon of Locked On Wolves. And the Warriors and the Timberwolves are playing twice this week. And so we thought we could take some time here to revisit the D'Angelo Russell for Andrew Wiggins trade. Ben, I know that D'Lo has been sidelined recently. He's got a quad contusion. The Wolves are out to a tough start, obviously, this year. But how do they view the deal right now, almost a year since having made it last February?
Yeah, I mean, it's obviously still really early. And as crazy as this is, and I don't know if non-Timberwolves fans realize this, but D'Angelo Russell and Karl-Anthony Towns have played five games together. We're over 11 months from this trade. But a combination of Towns injuries last year, some nagging injuries here and there to D'Lo, they've shared the court for five games. So from a, you know, strictly from an on court, impact perspective, it's really hard to evaluate still. The Wolves are 2-3 in those games. D'Lo and Towns have the offensive chemistry you would expect them to have. Their games are really, they mesh really well. There's a reason why, besides their friendship, that the Wolves wanted to get a point guard that could shoot and create his own shot. And, also a really good passer who can create for Towns. And at this stage, that pairing seems to be working well. The question, I think we'll get into this later, is of course the deal itself and the assets given up and how Wiggins is doing in Golden State. And of course, that's the way that a lot of people are going to view this trade. But in terms of on-court chemistry, the jury is still very much out because we just don't know. They've played five games, but so far so good when they've been on the court together. As you alluded to, though, the Wolves are 4-12 at this stage in the season. So, they need Towns to get back on the court to fully evaluate things.
Yeah, it's interesting that you say that things are still so much on hold, and you're absolutely right. I wrote that about that today, that they have only seen their kind of pairing, right, their nucleus of Towns and Russell, five games together total. And if you're the Warriors, it was a little similar last year, right, because Andrew Wiggins got traded there, and he only had played one game with Steph Curry before the season was cut short. And so there was a lot going into this offseason. It was very similar. It was up in the air. Is Wiggins going to be able to play alongside Steph Curry? Can he kind of settle into more of an auxiliary role as opposed to sort of being the man with the ball all the time like he was in Minnesota for so much of his tenure there? And now that we're 17 games through the season, it does feel like Warriors fans, at least, and the Warriors themselves, I should say, feel really confident about what it is that Andrew Wiggins is doing with the Warriors right now and sort of the role that he's settling into, very much a supplementary role, cutting off the ball, trying to hit open shots. He's never been more open for these three-point shots. It's not a coincidence that he's shooting a career-high percentage from three-point range at almost a little bit more than 40% on five attempts per game. And then the defense has just been a revelation. I know that you know this, that Andrew Wiggins kind of developed a reputation for being a bad defender, and I think that a lot of people who cover the Warriors kind of poo-poo the reputation as a narrative. And I'm like, no, he earned that reputation. He was a bad defender for a lot of his tenure in Minnesota, but now he's just been afforded, I suppose, this opportunity to kind of, you know, resuscitate his own career and kind of rebrand himself in a way. And now it feels like the Warriors kind of very much know exactly what this is going to be, while the Timberwolves are still a little bit in a holding pattern.
Yeah, I think that's fair. And you're right. You're spot on about Wiggins. I mean, he certainly showed flashes. Everybody knows he's always had the tools, the physical skill set to be a good defender. It was, you know, it's the awareness. Can he play within the team concept? He would go through stretches where he was gambling too much. To me, watching Wiggins this year, I mean, the three-point percentage is impressive, and I certainly buy that that has something to do with the scheme he's playing in and the talent that, namely Steph Curry, helping him get those open shots. That may come back down to earth a little bit. I mean, he had one season above league average, I think, prior to this, but the block rate to me is what's most impressive in watching his defensive activity. Just in the game against the Wolves on Monday, he had three blocks and three steals, and that's not the sort of game that Timberwolves fans saw very often from Andrew Wiggins. And certainly, I buy coaching, I buy culture. There's lots of reasons why that might be true. But understand, I mean, Warriors fans should understand Timberwolves fans' skepticism for, you know, a dozen or, you know, 15 games or so of Wiggins playing extremely well for Golden State. He had those stretches of 15 games in Minnesota where it was like, oh man, even the beginning of last year when the Wolves started 10-8, Wiggins was great. He was playing really, really well over the first, you know, 15, 20 games. And then things kind of cratered for him in December and January. So, I certainly would buy that he is playing better this year in Golden State, and definitely agree with your premise that you know, having less weight on his shoulders is going to make all the difference. And on the D'Angelo Russell front in Minnesota, we've only seen him play. I mean, he's played many games now in a Wolves uniform, you know, 14 games last year when Towns was out. And then this year with Towns, a few games, but then without him, I think he's also played 14 games this year, 15 games maybe. And he just isn't the same player when he's the 1A guy to rely on. I mean, obviously he helped the Brooklyn Nets get to the playoffs a couple of years ago. We saw best case D'Angelo Russell that year, which still, by the way, I think is better than any individual season that Wiggins has put together. But the problem is, you know, in a vacuum, you could argue D'Angelo Russell's the better player still, but he should not be the best player on a playoff team. Same with Andrew Wiggins. And without Towns on the floor, Russell's weaknesses are a lot more obvious. And that's been one of the reasons why some Wolves fans are already kind of getting a little bit of buyer's remorse, I think, is just because Russell by himself is very ball dominant, not getting others involved. And without a talent like Towns alongside him, it's much less attractive to have D'Angelo Russell on your team. And that's why I say, you know, get back to me in a couple months and hopefully I'll have a much better sense if Towns can get back on the floor.
Yeah, I think that it's smart to withhold judgment, not only because of the Russell, you know, having not played very much with Towns, but like you said, it's not been that much of a sample size even for Andrew Wiggins. And, you know, played 17 games this year, almost 18 points per game, a little bit more than two assists per game, but the blocks, the steals are all up and all these things. Rebounds are up for him too. But again, it's a small sample. You want to see him put the whole season together. And I think the foundation is there, right? There is no excuse for him not to. And I remain bullish on Andrew Wiggins. But I do agree with you, and I said this when they made the trade. D'Angelo Russell is the better player in a vacuum. I don't even think that was arguable when they made the trade. And I would probably still agree with you that D'Lo is the better player in a vacuum just because of what he can provide offensively. Watching him last year, there were so many empty calorie games with him. But it's not completely fair to put that on him because the roster was not very talented. They were without Clay. They were without Steph. Draymond Green was in and out of the lineup when he was playing. He was sort of coasting. There's obviously rebuilding after Kevin Durant, Andre Iguodala, and all these guys leave. And so D'Angelo Russell kind of had to just go out there and be like, I don't know, I guess I'll just shoot the ball every time. And that kind of feels like what he's had to do in Minnesota. And I think he's played 14 games so far, and they've lost 11 of them.
Yep.
The production has been there, but it's not been, you know, huge. I think he's averaging a little bit more than 20 points per game. But, you know, you'd like to see at some point D'Angelo Russell turn the corner and start playing a little bit more winning basketball. And that was the knock against Wiggins too, right? Yep. And I guess the difference right now is that the Warriors have been healthy. The Timberwolves have not been healthy. The Warriors obviously have Steph Curry. The Timberwolves don't have Steph Curry. So that's helpful. But, you know, I think that Wiggins has just sort of found a better position for himself, where D'Lo, like we've said already, we're not really sure if this is the best possible right. situation for him. I do want to talk about how you build around D'Angelo Russell and Karl-Anthony Towns and just sort of what Gerson Rosas is doing. What is the vision right now in Minnesota?
Before we get to my answer to Wes's question about how the Timberwolves are building around Towns and Russell, let's talk about our great friends at betonline.ag. I talked about this on both Monday and Tuesday. I'm all in on betonline.ag. I am ready to go. Basketball betting, NBA, NCAA, games every night, getting some parlays, some teasers in. Find some friends, get them on betonline.ag. Make sure that you are that you have some skin in the game as we get into the meat of the basketball season. Football's basically over. You just have the Super Bowl upcoming, which, by the way, you should also bet on betonline.ag for the Super Bowl. But basketball and now I guess the start of hockey are the only games in town. So be sure that you're signed up at betonline.ag. It's the only place that has you covered and the only place that we here at Locked On trust. Sign up today for a free account at betonline.ag. Use the promo code Locked On for your 50% welcome bonus. Again, that's Super Bowl, it's college basketball, it's NBA action, it's NHL, it's any sport you can think of. Don't sit on the sidelines anymore. Get in on the action and don't forget to use the promo code Locked On to receive a 50% welcome bonus with your first deposit. Bet Online, your online sportsbook experts. Get more of the sports news you need in less time with our new Locked On Today podcast. Peter Bukowski hosts Locked On Today, a daily podcast breaking down the biggest stories with analysis from our local experts. Start your day with all the sports news you need in under 20 minutes. Subscribe to Locked On Today wherever you get podcasts. All right, let's get back to my answer to Wes's question about how the Wolves are going to plan to build around Karl-Anthony Towns and D'Angelo Russell. Yeah, I mean, I think right now the Wolves, at least publicly, are saying that they have their two, right? Their big two stars are going to build around Towns, obviously being the superstar, and Russell the complimentary star. And as I said, their offensive games mesh really well. The knock on both of those guys, you know, Russell has a bit of the empty calorie thing that you mentioned as one of the knocks on him. But the main thing for him is defensively, he's not a very good defender. Everybody knows that. And to this point in his career, Towns hasn't been either. Now, Towns has only played in four games this year, but in those four games, it's been a night and day difference defensively for Towns. And I think the Wolves were banking, they were banking on Towns to improve defensively. And what you need from Russell is effort. He's never going to be a plus defender, but if he can be, you know, a slightly below average defender and Towns can be a good defender, then all you've got to do is find, you know, some shooters to kind of plug in around those guys. The big thing for Gerson Rosas and the Timberwolves front office and the coaching staff is trying to find players that are versatile, that are switchable. You know, they went into the season basically without a true starting power forward on the roster. They overpaid Juancho Hernan Gomez in restricted free agency. He's getting an average of $7 million a year over the next 3 years if he gets his option picked up. And he hasn't played well. Now he's on the COVID list. And on a playoff team, he's probably not a starting four. He's probably more of a rotational big. And the Wolves were going to hand him the starting job, but he was so bad in preseason and in training camp that that they actually started Jake Lehman at the four, which, you know, Jake Lehman can play the four in stretches, but he's not, again, not the starting four on a playoff team. So the Wolves are searching for, you know, what that proverbial third star, or at least somebody who can add a little bit of a defensive edge and also score. They just don't have very many two-way players right now. You know, Josh Okogie's all defense, no offense. Jarrett Culver is supposed to be a two-way player, but to this point in a year plus in his career, he's mostly defense and very little offense. Malik Beasley is trying a little bit more on defense this year, which is great, but to this point, he's all offense and very little defense. They don't have very many guys that can do more than one thing and also be switchable defenders. And that's the problem is either the lineup has no defenders on the floor or they don't have floor spacers. You know, like you look at the Timberwolves starting lineup last night against Golden State on Monday, and there just isn't enough shooting. Malik Beasley's their only plus shooter. Naz Reid is an okay outside shooter, but he's not going to live out there. Jared Vanderbilt can't stretch the floor. Ricky Rubio is an average at best three-point shooter. Josh Okogie, below average three-point shooter. And then you put in a unit with a bunch of shooters and you don't have enough defense. So the Wolves are still searching for best case scenario. And Gerson Rosas, of course, comes from Houston and the Daryl Morey school of thinking of, you know, always big game hunting. He's trying to find that third star in the meantime, he's kind of trying to find all these movable assets that he can plug in and have enough defense and enough, you know, some shooting here, some defense there to make it work. To this point, it just hasn't. And so the path is still pretty unclear. And, you know, a year ago, we all knew that the Timberwolves were trying to get D'Angelo Russell. They were still desperately trying to acquire him. And now it's anyone's guess what the next move is, but you can bet that Rosas is trying to, going to try and cobble some of these pieces together to find a true third star. And you know, that's gotta be the next move. And it could come at any time. I mean, I just don't know that they have enough assets. They've already traded the picks for next year. Do they have enough assets to make another splash? Time will tell. And that's why you need D'Angelo Russell to at least put up, an effort defensively to be a true star caliber player.
Yeah, isn't the template the Denver Nuggets? You build around for Denver Nikola Jokic and Jamal Murray, and you just surround them with guys who can defend and make three-pointers. That's the template. I don't think the NBA is moving in such a way offensively that I think you can kind of get away with your two star players, right? Your top two not being elite defenders. And look, Jokic has gotten so much better on defense than versus early in his career. And I think that Towns obviously has the talent to get good defensively. I'm not saying he can't. And if D'Angelo Russell just tries a little bit harder the way that Jamal Murray has, Jamal Murray is still undersized. D'Angelo Russell being undersized is not an issue for him. He's a really big starting point guard. But if he puts in a little bit more effort there, you don't need him to be all NBA, right? You just need him to be a little bit better than maybe one of the worst point guards defensively in the league.
Yep.
And like Denver did with their big two, you just surround them with stars, and then eventually maybe you find a Michael Porter Jr. or whatever, or you start grouping some of these assets together and make that big third star move, like you were talking about.
Yeah, that's absolutely correct. I mean, Denver is they're also a medium sized market. They didn't do much in free agency. Paul Millsap, I think, is the biggest free agent piece they found. They've drafted well. They've gotten second rounders like Monty Morris and they've Jared Vanderbilt was maybe not so coincidentally, the Wolves ended up with Malik Beasley, Hernan Gomez and Jared Vanderbilt from Denver in that four team trade last year when they sent out Robert Covington because the Nuggets had too much talent. They weren't going to be able to extend Malik Beasley and give him minutes. They weren't going to be able to afford to keep Hernan Gomez. They were just trying to get assets, for those players on the way out the door. And that's exactly the model the Wolves have to try and follow. And there's, Jokic and Towns obviously have different games, but they're in that same conversation in terms of the league's best big men, certainly. And they both have some shortcomings defensively. And that's exactly right. And everybody saw what Jamal Murray can do in the playoffs last year in the bubble. And that's what the Wolves are hoping they can get from D'Angelo Russell. So I certainly think that that's the direction they're trying to head, as they build out the roster.
Right. And for Golden State, it's pretty clear. I mean, they're following sort of their own template, right? If the Timberwolves are following the Denver Nuggets template, the Warriors are just following their own template from maybe not the Kevin Durant years, but probably previous to those Kevin Durant years where I don't know that Andrew Wiggins is Harrison Barnes of this group. I think he's probably more Andre Iguodala when this roster is actualized because he's a good ball handler, because he defends more perimeter-oriented players than Harrison Barnes, who kind of played more 3-4, where Wiggins is guarding more 3-2s and even some 1s in some instances. I think you find that guy there who, similar pedigree too to Andre Iguodala. Both of them are insane athletes. Wiggins is probably a better athlete than Iguodala ever was. But that's only because Wiggins is such an incredible athlete. Both were tasked to do a whole lot more than they probably should have been tasked to do. And then they find themselves in a situation where they're asked to do a little bit less and they're able to, quote unquote, star in their role, right? And so I think for the Warriors, you've got Steph. When Klay Thompson gets back next year, it's pretty easy to see how that lineup is going to shape up. You've got Steph, Klay, and then you've got Wiggins, Draymond Green, and presumably James Wiseman will get back into the starting lineup by next year, right? That's the long-term look of what this roster is going to be. And you can sort of mix it up from there, but for the Warriors, they kind of know exactly what their core is going to be. And as far as building around that group, it's just about supplementing guys, right? Getting just contributions from the bench, finding the right rotations, finding the chemistry that eventually should click. It just feels like the road for the Warriors is a little bit easier, which kind of leads me to the final part of this trade, right? We could talk about Wiggins and D'Lo all we want, one for one, but it wasn't a one for one deal. The Warriors also sent a couple of guys, Omari Spellman and Jacob Evans. None of those guys made the Timberwolves roster, and I can't blame them for that. But the draft pick, top three protected in 2021. As we sit here and talk right now, Ben, the Timberwolves have the second worst record in the league. 40.1% chance if the lottery were held right now that they would end up with a top three pick, which means almost a 60% chance that the Warriors would end up getting their pick regardless of where it fell. I think right now it's locked for the top five or six right now. This would be a disaster, right, if the Warriors ended up getting the number four pick in Minnesota, for example, and Minnesota punted on what is a pretty loaded draft class.
Before we get to my response regarding the Timberwolves' lack of draft picks and a loaded draft class in 2021, let's talk about Built Bar. Built Bar is the best tasting protein bar of all time. Guarantee it tastes just like a candy bar. This week alone, I've had the caramel brownie. I have had salted caramel. I've had toffee almond. They're always fantastic. Next up on the list is Cherry Barcia, which I have not tried yet, and I can't wait. Every single Built Bar is covered in 100% chocolate, and it's soft and easy to chew. Built Bar is perfect if you're health conscious, if you're trying to lose weight or maintain weight while indulging in a delicious treat. Every single Built Bar is low calorie, low sugar, and high in protein, high in fiber, perfect if you're on a keto diet. Right now, for a limited time only, you can get a free cooler with your purchase, but only while supplies last. Go to BuiltBar.com, use promo code LOCKEDON. You'll get 20% off your next order. Use the promo code LOCKEDON for 20% off at BuiltBar.com. It's hard to believe that it's been a year since we tragically lost Kobe Bryant. On the Rejecting the Screen podcast, hosts Adam Stanko and Noah Kozlov are honoring Kobe's life and career with a two-part special this week. Hear stories you haven't heard anywhere else about Kobe from teammates, opponents, coaches, and journalists. Subscribe to Rejecting the Screen and listen this week to celebrate the life of one of the NBA's all-time stars. All right, let's go ahead and get back to the conversation between myself and Wes Goldberg of Locked On Warriors. Wes asked me about the Timberwolves' decision to include two draft picks, including a potentially very juicy pick in 2021 in the trade to the Warriors. Yeah, it absolutely would be. I don't think there's any other way to put that. I mean, it's not even really the wild card. That's the biggest piece of this trade, because we could argue all day about who's the better player in a vacuum, and we talked a little bit about it already. Either way, it's close, right? Even if you decide it's Russell or you decide it's Wiggins, but the pick is beyond the great equalizer. Actually, it's two picks, right? I mean, I think it was the first and the second, which I think the Warriors turned around and traded, if I'm not mistaken. But the Wolves...
That's right. It helped them get Kelly Oubre, which has been a spot-on move.
And I mean, that's likely going to be a top, five pick in the second round. So the Wolves have zero picks in what's expected to be the best draft in years. And certainly they weren't expecting to be this bad this year. They weren't expecting to have Towns re-injure his wrist, or I guess have a different wrist injury to the same wrist, and then also get COVID and play in four of the first 16 games. And I think if he'd been playing, you're looking at a 500 team, and maybe they're a borderline 9 or 10 seed in the West for the play-in games. And you're looking at like a 15, 16 pick in the draft. Not great, but not a huge deal, especially if you feel good about D'Angelo Russell. And this is probably the worst case scenario for the Timberwolves. Obviously, there's still a little bit of a chance to pull out of this, season opening tailspin that they're in. But I mean, that's also, you can't even sell hope to the fan base at that point if you don't have any picks for the next year. There's not much in the way of cap space either. The Wolves actually had to give up a couple of future picks to get off of Spellman and Evans and get Ed Davis, who they're paying a little over $5 million, and he's been fine, but at this point in his career, he's a fifth big basically. And so the asset management for Gerson Rosas early on in his tenure was really good. And now, he found Naz Reid as an undrafted free agent. Jordan McLaughlin, who had a great game against Golden State. He's done really good at the fringes of the roster, but outside of the Russell acquisition and the fringes of the roster, there hasn't been much else to write home about. Obviously, Beasley's looking really good on the extension, but now all of a sudden, if you finish this year as a bottom, three or four team in the league again with no picks to sell to the fan base, as hey, we've got Cade Cunningham or whoever coming in here next year. That's not a good look. And Golden State comes out looking like geniuses, especially if how Wiggins has played in the first 16 games. If he does that over the course of the season, then it's easy to say Golden State won this trade.
I think we're already at that point only because this is going to be a really tough hole for Minnesota to climb out of, man. I mean, that record, it's going to be really tough to even make it to a play-in game at this point in the Western Conference. And that is already now the story of this upcoming draft lottery. This Minnesota pick, if it ends up top three, crisis averted, right? Obviously, crisis averted. You're going to have a top three pick in a loaded draft. You know, and at that point, the pick in 2022 becomes unprotected, but who gives a damn? You got the top three pick in 2021. There are going to be some clenched cheeks in a room in Minnesota when those ping pong balls are moving. It is by far the biggest story of the lottery. You know, in San Francisco, with the Warriors watching that pick, they are going to be desperately rooting for that top three pick because you know that they want to look like geniuses too. Joe Lacob has made a career off of trying to look like a genius. And so, the drama is so enticing just as an NBA fan. It is so incredible. But it sounds like you and I are on the same page with this trade. At least for now, the edge goes to the Warriors at this point. And it is, and I think you make a really astute point. Had the Timberwolves done what it is that they thought they could have done, and probably could have done, realistically, had it not been from, you know, the season from hell to start this season, this probably looks not nearly as bad. Even in a really good draft, if it meant getting off of the Andrew Wiggins contract because he just wasn't working out in Minnesota, getting your point guard of the future in D'Angelo Russell, getting the guy who you've always wanted to pair with Karl-Anthony Towns in the first place, and all it costs you is a second-round pick and a first-round pick in the middle of the first round, you do that, you know, probably 9 times out of 10, right? I still think you make that trade in hindsight. Maybe Minnesota, the only gripe you would have, right? The only regret is, man, maybe we should have protected that thing. We really should have fought for those higher protections. But it's so hard to do that revisionist history stuff.
Yeah, and one last point on the D'Lo fit in Minnesota. I mean, it's also... It'll be interesting to see what Malik Beasley ends up being. I mean, he's still only 24. So far this year, he's been... I mean, if the Wolves were any better, he'd probably be getting some all-star chatter. I mean, he's been that good. He shot the ball really well. He's averaging, 19.6 points a game, almost 38% from three on 7 threes a game. He's been really good. He's improved defensively. And there were a lot of people that scoffed at his 4 years, $60 million deal in restricted free agency. And I actually didn't think it was terrible. I mean, based on what he did in, you know, the Nuggets rotation 2 years ago when he had minutes, and then once he joined the Timberwolves, the final 14 games of last year. So you're looking at Beasley at roughly half the cost of Wiggins, and I believe the same amount of years, maybe one more year, but there's a team option at the end of the deal. And, you know, it's obviously there were other assets involved, and you know, it's certainly not a one for one or anything, but you look at if Towns was healthy and you feel like Russell and Towns are a great fit, and Beasley is half the cost of Wiggins, he's providing that offensive production, you know, he's not the defender that Wiggins has been for the Warriors, certainly. And so you could make that argument, you know, compare the two players together. They're very different players. But I believe with the way the Wolves are trying to play and the pace they're trying to play at and the emphasis on three-point shooting, to this point in his career, Wiggins wasn't a very good three-point shooter. You know, the Wolves would take Beasley at half the salary of Wiggins 9 times out of 10, I think. The big thing, again, it all goes back to that draft pick. Because if you assume that Towns, Russell, and Beasley work together when they're healthy and you buy that you can fill out the rest of the roster with defenders and enough shooters, then the Wolves are actually not in a bad spot. It's just, we just don't know because of the Towns absence. And then also the pick that's looming over their heads. But I think Beasley is the name that kind of gets forgotten in this discussion about how these teams are being built.
100%. And look, when we say that the Warriors are winning this trade, that is an active verb, right? I think that this is a race, to use a metaphor. The Warriors are several laps ahead right now than the Timberwolves, but it'll be interesting, I guess, to revisit this thing a year from now, because this kind of trade could potentially have ripple effects for several years. This was a deal that probably dramatically changed the direction of not one, but two franchises that are trying to compete right now. Ben, always great talking to you, man. Have a good one.
Hey, you too, Wes. Thank you. All right, there you have it. A crossover episode, Locked On Wolves, Locked On Warriors. Getting ready for Wolves Warriors Part 2 on Wednesday evening. Of course, D'Angelo Russell hopefully will play. He was questionable on Monday. No word on his status yet for Wednesday, but with the quad contusion, hopefully he plays. And hopefully Andrew Wiggins doesn't have quite as good of a game this time around against the Wolves. Of course, Steph Curry was the biggest problem, as he always is, dropping 36, including he had like 13 in 10 minutes or something in the fourth quarter against the Wolves, or 13 in 8 minutes, something like that. So Wolves Warriors Wednesday night. Of course, we'll have a post game pod that we'll post very shortly right after the game. So really middle of the night, central time zone. Be sure that you stay tuned for that. Make sure you're subscribed anywhere that you get your podcast to Lockdown Wolves. That includes Apple. It includes Spotify, anywhere. And then also, if you are so inclined, please rate and review the podcast on iTunes. That definitely helps us out. You can also follow us on Twitter at Locked On T Wolves. That's at Locked On T Wolves. Don't forget the T. All right. Enjoy Wolves Warriors tonight, part two. We'll be back after the game with the post game reaction pod for the Thursday show. And of course, back on Friday as well. Once again, I'm Ben Beacon. This is the Locked On Wolves podcast, and we will catch you next time.